This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code Latino. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
A warning before we start, there is a description of a sexual assault in this story. Hello. It's early in the morning in July of 2018, and the day is already blistering hot. I'm walking into the Price Daniel unit. It's a medium security prison a few hours west of Dallas. I had to drive through miles of wind turbines and oil rigs before I arrived at the prison's gray cement entrance.
Oh, we got you set up over here.
Do you have any water?
Yes, ma'am. We'll get you some water.
I'm about to kill him.
A big, kind of bulky prison guard leads me to the visiting room at this men's prison. But I'm here to see Estrella, an undocumented trans woman who is serving a 9-year sentence for a nonviolent crime.
Is this a visiting room?
Yes, this is our visiting room. We're going to set you up right here.
Is that Estrella?
Estrella was convicted of fraud and theft of property related to a check cashing scheme in 2017. She's always maintained that she was forced to cash those fraudulent checks by her abusive ex-boyfriend.
Oh my God, Estrella, hello.
Es un gusto verte.
Oh my God.
Nos volvemos a ver por tercera vez.
This is my third time visiting Estrella, and this time she looks noticeably different. She had to spend a year fighting in court in order to get her hormone treatment, and she's finally receiving it again. It's a combination of testosterone blockers and estrogen injections. Estrella calls them her varita mágica, her little magic wand that is helping align her physical body with her gender identity.
Wow, esas cejas. Your eyebrows are amazing.
Usted ni me cachen porque si no me castigan.
What happened? What do you mean?
And when I compliment her sculpted eyebrows, she lowers her voice. She says she hopes the guards don't catch her. Estrella could be given a write-up for tweezing her eyebrows, and that could lead to a lot of trouble.
I'm sorry, do you work for
Mitchell County Hospital?
And just as I'm asking Estrella why that is, a female guard comes and sits next to us.
So you're listening for what reason?
They needed an interpreter to make...
No, yo hablo español.
The woman tells me that she's an interpreter, but when I say to her that I speak Spanish, then she tells me she's there for a different reason.
No necesito ningún interpreter.
Yes, but the warden wanted me here to make sure there was nothing else going on.
So they just asked somebody to come and sit and listen to the conversation that I'm having with Estrella.
That prison guard. Well, she ended up staying with us the entire 2 hours that I spent with Estrella that day. At one point, Estrella leaned over the cold stainless steel table and told me,
"No quieren que uno hable de a veces de las cosas inhumanas que nos pasan a nosotros los gays aquí en la prisión."
That prison officials want someone there because they don't want her to talk about the inhumane conditions that gay and trans people live with behind bars. From Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, the story of Estrella, punished for breaking the law, for being undocumented, and for being a woman in a men's prison. Let's go back to the beginning. I first meet Estrella in 2017.
Border Patrol agents arrested Irvin Gonzalez, a transgender woman.
Irvin Gonzalez, that's Estrella's legal name.
Right after she got out of court, she was there to get a protective order.
Estrella's case was a turning point. It was a clear statement that not even a courtroom would be a safe space for undocumented people. Estrella has been living in the United States since she was just 18 years old. She grew up in Acapulco, Mexico. Back then, She identified as gay, but she kept this a secret for as long as she could. Things were brutal in Acapulco in the 1990s. Gay men were being attacked and killed indiscriminately. When Estrella was still in high school, she says a group of men saw her with her boyfriend, and she says they attacked Estrella, nearly killing her. Estrella's mother gave her an ultimatum: either get married to a woman and live a heterosexual life, or get out and move to the United States. Estrella did both. She moved to L.A. to start a new life with the woman who would soon become the mother of her two children. They eventually separated, and Estrella then began to openly identify as a trans woman. In 2015, she began a relationship with Mario de Avila. He's a U.S. citizen, and she says he's the one that forced her to cash those fraudulent checks, threatening her with physical violence, and even with calling immigration authorities against her if she didn't do what he said. De Avila was also later convicted. He was given a much shorter sentence. Today, Estrella has served nearly 4 years of her 9-year sentence. And throughout it all, we've remained in communication. Almost every week, and sometimes multiple times a week, Estrella calls me. I always hold my breath until I hear Estrella's voice on the other end of the line. I can tell a lot about what's going on just by the way she says hello.
Buenos días.
Hola, Estrella. Sometimes Estrella's hellos are super cheerful. Prison life is really hard, but she's trying her best to adapt. Recently, she's taken to calling her cell su casa, her house. And she tells me how much she enjoys keeping it neat and tidy and clean. Estrella always loved cooking. On this day, Estrella tells me, she's making pizza. Because Estrella has to make do with whatever ingredients she can find in the commissary, today's pizza crust is made with mashed up instant ramen and saltine crackers. Estrella tells me it was delicious.
Oh my God, Estrella, ¿quién iba a pensar de que estaríamos hablando de la cocina aquí?
But Estrella also spends a lot of time thinking about her life once she gets out of prison. And there's one particularly simple but powerful dream that she holds on to.
El sueño más grande de mi vida es un día asistir al desfile gay.
She wants to be part of a pride parade here in the United States. But other days, I can tell that something is wrong. She often talks about the contradiction of transitioning to a woman in a men's prison. On the one hand, she feels happier and more aligned with her gender identity than ever before in her life. But on the other hand, she's in prison. And she's constantly being harassed because she's trans by both guards and prisoners alike. Right now, we're going to pick up her story in January of 2019 when I get a call from Estrella, but it's from a different prison.
In All Red Unit, esta llamada es grabada y está sujeta a supervisión.
Estrella had been transferred again. This was the fourth time in only 2 years. And this time, she was being moved to a maximum security prison, even though she's been convicted of a non-violent offense.
Bueno.
Hola, Bella.
Hola, María.
On January 2nd of 2019, Estrella arrived at the All Red Unit in North Texas on the border of Oklahoma. And that's where she's currently serving her sentence. All Red is one of the last places where you hope to end up as an incarcerated person. It's a prison that has a long record of sexual violence.
El mirar los tres pisos, cuántas puertas tienes que pasar para llegar a tu casa.
Estrella tells me she was shocked when she got there. The prison has 3 floors. Door after door would be slammed and locked behind her as she made her way to her cell. The first day that Estrella got there, one of the other trans women in the prison came up to her and gave her a warning.
Me dijo, pues debes de tener mucho cuidado, la persona con la que vives ha violado 3 mujeres en la libre.
She told Estrella to be careful with her cellmate. Word around Allred was that her cellmate had raped several women before he was incarcerated. After that, Estrella went into her new cell to meet him.
Así es aquí en la prisión, María. El que entra a la casa no pone reglas. El que está dentro es quien pone las reglas.
Estrella said she followed the prison code, which means that the person who is in the cell first gets to make the rules, and any new arrival has to follow those rules.
Yo sé que es tu casa, le dije al hombre.
She told her cellmate that she knew this was his space.
Me miró y me dijo, también es tu casa.
And to her surprise, her cellmate told her it was her home too. So Estrella tried her best to make it feel like her own.
Ayer recibí unas fotos mías, me las envió una amiga. Qué foto cuando me vestí por primera vez de mujer.
¡Ay! ¡Yo lo quiero ver!
She called me one day to tell me about a small envelope of pictures that a friend had mailed to her. There were photos of her before her gender transition. There was even a picture of her the first time Estrella dressed in gender-affirming clothes.
Yo sentía que realmente era yo.
In tight jeans and a colorful blouse, Estrella remembers how happy she was to finally feel like she was herself. Looking at this photograph, Estrella thought about just how far she's come in her transition.
Luego, me enviaron otras donde estoy con la mamá de mis hijos.
There's another picture where she's with her ex-wife, the mother of her children, back at their house in Los Angeles. Estrella tells me she wants to reunite with her family when she gets out. She wants to show them how much she's changed.
Exactamente, tengo un año y dos meses en inyección, María. Me encantan mis caderas.
After just a year of being back on her hormone treatment, Estrella is amazed at how her body is changing right before her very eyes. She says she loves looking at her hips. It's little moments like these where she can celebrate everything that she's fought for. The first couple of weeks in Allred seemed to be going okay. Estrella was settling in, and her cellmate seemed to have no interest in her. But soon, things started to get ugly.
Un día quería tener la luz prendida y se sentía un poco como enferma. Le dije, ¿crees que podamos apagar la luz?
It all started one night when Estrella asked if they could turn off the light in their cell because she wasn't feeling well. Her cellmate told her no. Estrella didn't insist. She knew that she had to pick her battles.
Me paré a tomarme unas pastillas y me empujó.
When Estrella got up to take a pill, she says her cellmate got up too and then pushed her hard.
Cuando me subió a mi bunk, me acosté y lloré del coraje, pero a la vez de miedo.
Estrella went back up to the top bunk and began to cry out of frustration, but now also out of fear.
Porque sabía que él también había matado en otras prisiones a otros hombres. Era lo que se contaba aquí en esa prisión.
She had heard that this man was violent and had even allegedly killed people in other prisons before coming to Allred.
Yo estaba cerrada.
Estrella was terrified. But in a moment of courage, she leapt down from her bed and asked him, what did he want from her?
Yo estaba lista para una cachetada. Yo estaba lista para un empujón, María.
She expected to be slapped or to be pushed around.
Pero nunca estaba lista para un cabezazo en mi nariz. Ese día él golpeó mi nariz. Eran chorros de sangre. La sangre no paraba.
But she did not expect to have her nose bashed in. Now, blood was gushing everywhere. After that first incident, Estrella tried putting on a smile for the world outside her cell. She says she was terrified of what her cellmate would do if she told anyone what had already happened. 3 weeks passed, and by now Estrella had been able to resume her daily routine without being assaulted. And then Valentine's Day rolled around.
Era un 14 bonito para ti.
It started out okay.
Este hombre me regaló un radio. Dijo, este radio es para ti. Gracias por ser mi amiga.
One of her friends even gave her a radio and told her, thank you for being my friend.
Hacía tiempo que yo no oía música en español. puse la radio. Estaba pasando como un especial de Marco Antonio Solís. Yo voy a cocinar.
Estrella went back to her cell and turned on her radio as she began to cook. She remembers the radio station was having a Marco Antonio Solís special.
Se me hizo tan fácil subirle al radio, María. Estaba la canción de Marco Antonio Solís, como fui a enamorarme y empecé a cantar.
Without even thinking about it, Estrella turned up the music. It was a love song, and she began singing it to herself.
Como fui a enamorarme de ti.
Cuando de repente este hombre apagó el radio.
Suddenly, her cellmate got up and turned off the radio. Estrella plugged in her headphones and turned the radio back on. But her cellmate ripped the headphones out from her ears and threw them across the cell. He pushed her around until he heard the doors unlock. It was time for the 11 o'clock count. A guard began walking down the hall, making his rounds. She says her cellmate hit her and told her that she would be all right only if she kept quiet. So when the guard knocked on the door of their cell, Estrella didn't say a word. Throughout that entire night, Estrella says she was brutalized. She couldn't get any sleep. But the worst was going to come much later. The next morning, at about 3 o'clock, when the cell doors opened for the breakfast call, Estrella wanted to leave as soon as possible, but her cellmate told her she had to stay inside. When her cellmate returned from breakfast, she told me he forced himself on the bed with her and began to violently assault her. She says she pleaded with him to leave her alone, but he didn't stop. Estrella never reported the rape to prison officials. She was too afraid to do that. She says everyone behind bars knows that the administration's involvement doesn't make it any safer for them inside the prison once they've been attacked. And this is something that seems to happen far too often in All Red and in other state prisons like it in Texas and across the country. A survey conducted by two advocacy groups in 2016 gathered testimonies from All Red and from two other state prisons, presenting page after page of anonymous stories that sound eerily similar to what Estrella has recounted. Many of the respondents were gay or trans, and all of them said that they felt they had been targeted for their sexual orientation. We reached out to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice requesting an interview on several occasions. We did not receive a response. We'll be right back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Imperative Entertainment, with The Red Note. Famed investigative journalist Lydia Cacho examines the Juarez, Mexico femicides through the voices of the investigators who tried to solve the mystery of these crimes and the families of the victims. Listen and subscribe to The Red Note on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your podcasts. You can also listen in Spanish. Just search for La Nota Roja in the same podcast app you are listening in now.
We're back. And today, we're listening to the story of Estrella González, an undocumented trans woman serving a 9-year sentence at the James V. Allred Unit, a maximum security men's prison in Texas. Estrella says she was sexually assaulted by her cellmate inside the prison. A few weeks after the assault, Estrella called me to tell me that she had news to share. She had been moved to a new unit, and she said she was meeting other undocumented people just like her.
Y ahorita es lo que están haciendo, como juntándonos a todos los indocumentados en un solo dorma.
Estrella says things are a bit more calm here. The other undocumented people in her unit are on their best behavior because they, like Estrella, are hoping to apply to stay in the United States. Estrella is applying for a U visa. It's also known as a victim visa. It's reserved for people who are victims of crimes in the United States who can help in the prosecution of the person who committed that crime. In Estrella's case, that would be her abusive ex-boyfriend. If approved, Estrella could one day hope to become a U.S. citizen. It's not like it's an official undocumented unit in the prison, but there just happen to be a lot of undocumented people all together. And they share something else, which is that in the Texas prison system, these people don't have the same access as other prisoners to the very few rehabilitative programs at ALRED.
No school, no nada de clases para ustedes, nada.
For example, they can't go to class to get their GED or participate in any of the college programs. Estrella says she was told she couldn't even go to the English language learning programs. The only thing undocumented immigrants held in this prison are allowed to do is work.
¿Y te pagan cuánto?
No, el Estado no te paga nada.
No, they don't even get paid for the work they do, she tells me. She says the most the prison will do is reduce time from your sentence, and not being able to make money legally behind bars poses a real challenge for all incarcerated people. And for undocumented prisoners, it's especially hard for them to stay afloat. They often are alone in this country, or their families are depending on them financially, and many incarcerated people increase their food supply substantially when they buy from commissary. So not being able to earn money and then buy food from the commissary can have a real impact on your survival. But for Estrella, the bright side of moving to a new unit is that she doesn't have to worry about her cellmate anymore.
Ayer me prestaron un radio, me puse a bailar como loca todo el día, no he dormido por bailar y bailar y bailar.
Estrella says she even got a hold of a radio again and hasn't slept because at night she's been dancing and dancing. Prison has become a little bit more bearable until things started to sour again.
Maria. Ay, mamita.
It was March of 2019, and there was a prisoner in her new unit, an older man who was trying to extort her. He was demanding $60 from her, or he said he was going to beat her up. But Estrella, without any means of making money, she told me that she didn't know what to do. She was really scared. Nothing much came of it. Estrella didn't have the money, and eventually he dropped it. But then in June of 2019, out of nowhere, Estrella stopped calling me. The silence went on for weeks, and I started to get really worried. So I called Estrella's lawyer. She told me that Estrella had been put into solitary confinement, at first with no explanation, and then eventually, she says, Estrella was told that she had committed an infraction, that by telling me the story of the extortion attempt, Estrella was really trying to extort me for the money. And then, just a few weeks after Estrella had been moved into solitary, now I receive a very official-looking letter in the mail from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. The letter informed me that I was being officially removed from Estrella's visitation list. I couldn't wrap my head around what was going on, so I called Melissa Unterrecker, who is Estrella's immigration lawyer, to ask if she understood what was going on.
So what do you know about what happened with Estrella and me?
I really don't understand what the accusation fully is. But because of that, you, Maria, lost visitation privileges. You were threatened with being completely locked out of the Texas state prison system entirely.
And then, soon after, I received another official letter telling me that I was being banned from communicating with Estrella by mail. Strange, they were allowing me to communicate with her by phone, which they say was the way she was extorting me.
And I think it's crazy. I mean, it's absolutely, I can't even begin to understand how the prison would justify, based on that conversation, some criminal allegation against you.
And it was just all so strange. Strange because all of this was happening really months after Estrella had told me about the extortion.
But I don't know if they're doing it, if it's just a way to punish Estrella, if it's a way to punish you as a journalist. They just don't want their treatment of inmates exposed. They don't want people to know what's really going on in there.
One thing these official letters did say was that I could file an appeal. So I sent off a response to both letters in the following weeks. And then, after several months, when Estrella was finally given access to a phone and when she was more comfortable explaining to me what had happened, she told me the story. She said prison guards had come into her cell one day asking, who is the woman that Estrella was communicating with? Of course, that woman would be me. Estrella says the guards were holding on to a pile of papers that they looked like transcripts of all of our phone calls. She was punished with 1 year in restrictive housing, which is similar to solitary. It would mean that Estrella is kept away from the general population. Eventually, Estrella and I are back to our regular phone calls.
Gracias por usar. Gentilen, puede comenzar la conversación ahora.
Hello.
Bueno.
Hola.
Hello.
Estrella.
Te hablé de carrerita. ¿Qué crees? Volvieron a regresar a mi cuarto a revisar.
It's September of 2019, and Estrella calls me again. This time, she sounds agitated. Guards had come in and searched her cell top to bottom. She said that this had happened a few times, but they were never explaining to her why. Estrella tells me she doesn't have anything to hide, but still the searches feel intrusive and she feels targeted.
¿Por qué crees, Estrella, que están haciendo esto?
No sé, María, pero tengo mis fotos enumeradas.
Prisoners are taken out of their cells for these searches, but Estrella says someone taught her a trick when she went to prison. They said, always number your photographs, your letters, your legal documents so that you have a record. And Estrella has written tiny numbers on the back of each document and keeps them all in numerical order. After the search, it's easy to know whether they've rifled through her private photos and letters because, just like this time, the numbers are now out of order.
Y regresé y tengo todos mis papeles enumerados, María, y sí, revisaron toda mi correspondencia, la movieron para un lado, para otro, mis fotos, las que van al principio.
I worry about what this extra attention that Estrella is getting from the guards could really be about. And I worry if I'm partly or wholly responsible for this. I wonder if Estrella hadn't been talking to me, a journalist, maybe they wouldn't have been listening so closely to her phone calls. So I thought about this a lot and investigated this and ended up speaking to the ACLU Prison Project. There they told me that prisoners benefit from having their stories told, that it forces the prison to be held accountable for their actions. But the reality is there are many ways people behind bars can be punished for speaking out. Already, Estrella and I are only allowed to speak on the phone. And there really isn't a fair way to fight back. There's so little transparency around prisons that every decision I make is like a gamble. And sometimes it feels like we're betting on Estrella's well-being.
Oftentimes, I feel like I'm in a losing battle here. Estrella wants to tell her story, but by giving Estrella the possibility of speaking her truth about what it's like to be an undocumented trans woman in a men's prison, I worry that I also may be putting her into danger. I'm eager to go visit Estrella at Allred, and I don't give up hope. Our phone calls are listened to closely and monitored. That much I know since the accusations came to light. But in person, Estrella and I talk more freely, without a recorder or a guard listening in. It's a chance for me to see her, to make sure that she's really okay. Finally, in late February of 2020, I come into work at the Latino USA office. This is before the pandemic and the quarantine. And there's a letter on my desk. It's from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. And so I run into the studio immediately. I have a letter here. Oh my God, I feel like they're going to reject me. It's from Correctional Institutions Division Directors Review Committee. Okay, I'm reading it now. Correspondence requesting your name be removed from the negative mailing list of offender has been received and reviewed. The information in said letter was considered. However, it was the decision not to grant the request. Your name will remain on the negative mailing list for offender Gonzalez Irving. Irving Gonzalez. Remember, that's Estrella's legal name.
And right now, I'm livid, actually. I'm like shaking. I'm so upset. I'm just so pissed off. Ugh.
I decide that I'm going to pursue another appeal. So there'll be more waiting, but I'm determined to take on the fight to be able to see Estrella in person again. That feels like our biggest obstacle right now. And then everything changes again.
At this point, the virus hits 54 countries with nearly 3,000 deaths worldwide. As we enter the month of March, state governments of California, New York, Maryland, Utah, Kentucky, and Oregon declare a state of emergency.
Todos estamos encerrados. Cuando es lockdown, son 24 horas al día. No sales las 24.
It's March of 2020, and Allred is on lockdown 24 hours a day. COVID-19 has arrived, and the prisons are especially a dangerous place for a virus. Estrella says the prison has even blocked access to the common shower areas. Now they're only allowed to bathe on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Pues nosotros estamos en, yo, mira, si fuera, ya sabes, yo estaría en un avión ya, yéndote a ver.
Sí, yo sé, pero no podemos, no, yo creo que no va a haber visitas por el momento.
Despite everything that's happening, Estrella is, well, she's still Estrella. She's managing to find the bright side in everything.
Pues ya traemos todos cubrebocas, bozales como los caballos. Lo que es.
On this day, she calls to tell me that they've finally been given face masks. Estrella says she loves her mask, and not just because it makes her feel safe.
Lo positivo de usar el bozal. ¿Y qué crees?
Hey.
Si uso el bozal, no se me mira la barba. También me puedo amarrar las dos cintas de arriba y las dos cintas de abajo me las puedo poner como un moño, como diadema.
She says the mask is great because it covers her beard. And that comes in handy now that their bathroom time is restricted. But she says it's also a lot of fun. Some days Estrella ties the strings behind her ears and uses the mask as a headband. Sometimes she wears it as a choker.
Y ayer estaba una música muy bonita de Shakira para mover cadera y dije, ay, me puse mi bozal para atrás y agarré una zapata. Dijo, parezco de las bailarinas de Belly Dancing.
Other days, she tells me that she transforms into Shakira. She says she puts on her mask, turns up the music in her cell, closes her eyes, and she imagines she's a belly dancer shaking her hips far, far away from All Red.
Es grabada y está sujeta a supervisión.
Para aceptar los cargos, marque el 1.
Gracias, Gustav. Centrilen. Puede comenzar la conversación ahora.
It's June of 2020, the next time we talk, and Estrella has some news.
Cuando me llegó todo el papeleo del parol, yo dije, ¿por qué me está llegando todo el papeleo del parol? Pero también dice que soy elegible, tal vez por lo del coronavirus.
Estrella has been informed that she's now eligible to apply for early parole. If she is granted parole, it would mean an early release. And this should be a joyous occasion. After all, Estrella is desperate to leave All Red.
Ella me dijo que no era justo, que no era conveniente que yo fuera ahorita a migración.
But Melissa, Estrella's lawyer, has warned her that getting paroled now, while Trump is still in office, is dangerous, and that's because Estrella still has to fight to remain in the United States. Estrella has just one tangible avenue to gain legal status. It's the so-called victim visa that we mentioned earlier. Remember, before all of this happened, Estrella had run away and had reported her partner's abuse, and a judge had ruled in her favor. But the U visa application is a long process with slim chances of approval. And the minute her current prison sentence ends, there's a good possibility Estrella will be picked up by ICE because she still has a pending deportation order hanging over her head. And perhaps that's where the real danger lies. Estrella needs to apply to cancel her deportation. Her lawyer thinks Estrella has a good case based on fear of persecution. Estrella says she was brutalized in Mexico due to her status as a trans woman and would likely be subject to violence again in Mexico. But her lawyer says the Trump administration has made it almost impossible to get approved for a waiver right now. And that means that Estrella could be immediately deported to Mexico. And that possibility, she says, is worse than all of the violence she faces at All Red. No, no. Estrella tells me she thinks her only option right now might be to commit an infraction that would get her a write-up and then get her sent back to solitary.
No, espérate. ¿De verdad?
And I just can't believe what she's saying to me. She says she could sabotage her chances of getting paroled. And then I sit with her on the phone for a few moments in silence. Getting another infraction will not only extend her time in a place where she's been abused and where she is constantly in danger, but it won't reflect well on her record later when she has to fight her deportation. But getting out now will certainly mean that battle will be lost anyway. Estrella is between a rock and a hard place once again. Sometimes it feels like there's no place for Estrella in the United States. But there's something about Estrella's ability to always pull through, to always emerge from the ashes stronger, that always gives me hope.
Una promesa desde que en la segunda entrevista en Forest Factor, recuérdalo, ¿ok? Eso es.
Oh, lo de la gran mariscal.
Sí, lo que más, una de las cosas de mis sueños que más me mantiene de pie.
Bueno, porque eso va a pasar.
Estrella has this vision she tells me about. It's a dream that keeps her going, that one day
she'll be the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade in New York City, that she'll lead the parade. Covered in glitter and colorful feathers, the crowd will cheer. They'll love and accept and applaud Estrella for who she is. And she'll finally, she dreams, finally be at home. Estrella remains incarcerated at the All Red Unit. Her projected release date is July of 2023. Her fight continues. This episode was produced by Julieta Martinelli, Julia Rocha, and myself, and edited by Luis Treyes, with help from Miguel Macias. The Latino USA team includes Ginny Montalvo, Alisa Escarce, and Alejandra Salazar, with help from Andrea López Cruzado, Adriana Tapia, and Raúl Pérez. Fact-checking by Amy Tardif. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw. Our director of programming and operations is Natalia Fidelhotz. This week, we say goodbye to our wonderful digital editor, Amanda Alcantara. Amanda is an incredible journalist and a writer with her own self-published novel. And it's in these times when people are making extraordinary decisions about their life. So congratulations, Amanda, for great work here at Futuro Media. You did so much. And for your next big adventure back in the Dominican Republic. Uh-oh. Que te vaya bien. Y gracias, Amanda. Our interns are Jimena del Cerro and Emilce Quiroz. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Ahí los veo. Hasta la próxima. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Arcus Foundation, dedicated to the idea that people can live in harmony with one another and the natural world. Learn more about Arcus and its partners at arcusfoundation.org. California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. And the Wincote Foundation.
Radio Ambulante is NPR's only Spanish-language podcast. Listen for stories you won't hear anywhere else, told by the voices that make Latin America come alive. Each week, we bring you another remarkable story that will surprise and move you. Radio Ambulante, new episodes every Tuesday. Listen and subscribe.